Hello.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Sarah?
Yes, it's Sarah. How are you? Okay?
Not really.
What's happened?
For the past 2 years now, 95% of everyone has told me that the Attorney General and Human Rights Minister couldn't possibly be torturing me to cover up for a Labour pedophile. And it turns out, all along, their best friend and the former Attorney General is a pedophile. Or has at least been charged as such, according to the news last night and this morning. And everyone's basis this entire time for making that argument was essentially a government minister could never be the type of person to protect pedophiles or engage in such behaviour. And yet in the last two assembly terms, 6% of members elected in the last two assembly terms in the ACT have either been investigated for child sexual abuse or charged with child sexual abuse now. And I'm referring to Jonathan Davis and Gordon Ramsay. 6% of all members elected in the last two terms. But every politician and public servant and everyone else has spent 2 years telling me there's no way that what I was saying could possibly be true. There's no way that Tara Chain could be torturing me to protect Australia's Labor Jeffrey Epstein, because no government minister would never engage in behaviour like that. And yet the former Attorney General of the ACT, the one right before her, who she is best friends with, has just been charged with grooming a child.
Yeah.
I realise there's probably nothing that you can say in response to that, but I needed to just say that to someone right now. And Adele from the Salvation Army is on leave all this week, and I don't even have her to talk to right now. And right now, I am really not mentally coping well with the fact that everyone has spent 2 years gaslighting me on the basis that none of this could possibly be true. Well, you know what? There's a lot of things that can be true that people like to pretend that aren't.
Yeah. I'm so sorry, Chris.
And it's really ironic that my bail corrections officer is the only person I even, like, I tried calling Access Mental Health last night. It doesn't matter how I talk to them, they won't talk to me. They just endlessly hang up on me. I do not have access to any health services, physical or mental health otherwise. Rachel, unfortunately, the health minister has worked directly with Tara the past 2 years to cut me off from health services along with housing services. Yvette, Rachel and Tara are all just as corrupt as each other.
Yeah.
But no, none of this could ever possibly be the case.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't really know what to say, but I'm just so sorry that, you know, like I said, you're always welcome to give me a call. Was that you just trying to call me now off the private number?
Yeah, well, that's
okay.
I thought, figured you must have got that.
Yeah, I was in an appointment when you rang, and
yeah, no, I just happened to call from my mobile that time. I just
okay, because I just ignored that call and called you straight away, but it happened to be you anyway. So,
right. Well, I just left you a brief voicemail asking if there was any chance you might be able to call me back, because I didn't know who it was. Talk to right now. But
yeah.
Yeah, I've known the entire time what the truth is, but almost no one has been willing to believe me. Not because of any of the facts, or because they ever asked me for any of the details and considered whether any of it could possibly be true or not, just purely on the outright basis that nothing like that could ever be possibly be true in reality under any circumstances, so we won't even listen to this guy in the first place. Forensic mental health, the Corrections Mental Health Services, or the Assembly Flag Team, the fixed lone actor with a grievance, came to my house 2 years ago in Belconnen offering to help me. They were only there to set me up, which they proceeded to do. They're the reason that I got gaslit by Access Mental Health for more than a year in ACAT. Because they were only ever there to protect Tara's interests and nothing else from the beginning. They came there telling me they were there to offer me mental health support and help, and then they turned around and deliberately tried to set me up and spent ages gaslighting me that I was paranoid, delusional, that I was intellectually disabled, and that I'd definitely never been a victim of pedophilia, that there was no violent drug dealers living opposite me, that the police were out daily at my old house. Like, the only thing I've ever been fixated on is revealing the truth about the pedophilia that I know was done to me as a child. And I was accused by Forensic Mental Health, the Assembly Flag Team, of being essentially a lone wolf terrorist on no basis whatsoever, no evidentiary basis at all, because I was trying to reveal the truth about Tara and the and Michael Egan, the pedophile. And that's what has led entirely directly to where I am right now.
Yeah.
I'll just share one thing with you. I'm going to have to share this
with
Erin at the moment as well. 2 years ago, because of a combination of extreme physical illness symptoms and prescription medications that I was taking as intended, but were doing really bad things to me because of genetic and other conditions that were yet to be identified just yet at that point. 2 years ago, I called 000 and Rachel's office and Tara's office and Yvette's office, demanding to speak to either of the three of them as ministers, as the human rights minister, the health minister, or the housing minister at the time, stating, although this was false, that I had a shotgun and that I was going to shoot my pet and then myself if I didn't speak to either of those three ministers. The police responded, right, and I cranked up the music and ignored them for 15 minutes, and then they went away. And then Tara showed up half an hour later, herself.
Yeah, okay, well.
She intervened that day. Pacer should have come. They should have broken into my house if necessary, and I should have been committed to the psychiatric ward and given health treatment.
Absolutely.
Instead, Tara corruptly intervened in that process and took personal responsibility and made all these promises to me only to turn around and directly fuck me herself. This is how this all started. And everything with housing and everything else has all spun out of control ever since then from that exact incident, a bit more than 2 years ago now. This is what this all stems back to.
Yeah, that's where it all stems. Yeah, okay,
there
well.
Is no logical reason, given my behaviour that day, that anything should have occurred but me being committed to the mental health ward for a minimum 8-11. Instead, a government minister turned up herself and decided to take personal responsibility for it, calling off the police, calling off mental health services, when I had called 000 clearly stating that I had a shotgun and was going to kill my pets and then myself. I didn't have any such thing. I didn't have access to any such thing, and the notion was ridiculous, but that's not the point.
But it clearly goes to show that you were going, you know, you were having a mental health episode, and, you know, there's certain ways that you address that opposed to, you know, people engage in criminal activity and stuff. There's a difference. There's a fine line. There is a difference. You know?
I wasn't suicidal that day, but my subconscious knew that I was so messed up that it forced a situation where it was positive that I would have to get health care that I obviously desperately needed, because I was, like, I was extremely sick at that point. And I wasn't consciously able to get myself help, I guess, and my subconscious took over and forced the situation, because it's been trained all its life that no one ever pays any attention to me unless I say I'm suicidal, even if I'm not.
Yeah.
So there's been times in my life where my subconscious has essentially forced me into a state where it makes me appear as if I'm suicidal, although I'm still not in that state, but I just desperately need help, and it's the only way. But, you know, my subconscious knows how to get it when everything has just fallen apart in my brain and nothing is working anymore at that point.
Yeah, of course.
Like, no one has been willing to believe me. No one's even asked me at any point, you know, what Michael Egan did. How could any of that possibly be true? What did Tara did? No one's even wanted to even know any of the details, because none of it could ever be possibly true. A minister could never engage in corrupt conduct and deliberately torture a Canberra citizen to cover up a Labor pedophile who is effectively Australia's Jeffrey Epstein. No, that could never occur, because that kind of thing, you know, we're a good democratic society. People like that don't end up in government. No.
Yeah.
But the Attorney General, from only a term and a bit ago, who was the Attorney General for what, more than two terms, has just been charged with grooming an underage child.
Yeah, Yeah.
There's very little difference between grooming and directly doing it yourself. I don't want to get into the philosophical debate on that. There might be a very fine line there, but it's effectively pointless. But yeah, the problem is, the only reason I'm caught up in the criminal justice system at this point is because my brain is so autistically logical that I break when everything around me in society is not, you know, when the law is enforced one way on people like me and not on politicians, not on police, not on the people in power. And when politicians get up and lie on TV nonstop about this, that and the other.
And then you're, like you're saying, that chastising. But,
I can't take the illogical, I can't take the endless hypocrisy in society, and I get so mad about it, and that's how I get myself into trouble.
Yeah, because that clearly
is
justice.
Everyone's been telling me, no, none of this could possibly be true. The Attorney General, the ACT, could never be involved in anything like that. And yet so much has come out in the media in the past year or two. It's just validated so much of what I've tried to say. But
yeah.
It's just all come too late to help me in any way.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Chris.
I'm going to let you go, but...
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I tried calling
mental health services and just having a genuine conversation with them. They just hang up on me. They will not talk to me. There is no health support. Even if I turned up to the hospital, to emergency, I guarantee you they would turn me away. I don't know what to do anymore at this point. This is so wrong.
Which is this at TCH? Because you're a Southsider, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem is the entire mental health services team is all wrapped up around Canberra Hospital and always has been.
Yeah.
So even when I was up north, they kept kidnapping me and dragging me back down here every time anyway. And then...
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
I defeated ACT Mental Health at ACAP 3 times last year, including once in a marathon 2-hour hearing at the hospital with the public advocate and a legal aid lawyer arguing on my behalf after, on the 4th day when Hart wanted to apply an ED11 on top of the ED3 that already kidnapped me on the basis of. And for the 3rd time in a row in that hearing, ACAP once again ruled in my favour. I don't know anyone else who has prevailed against prevailed against the mental health team in ACAT on mental health assessment, guardianship and ED hold challenges on every single occasion, because they've been able to readily demonstrate to ACAT that Hart have zero evidentiary basis for any of the claims they're making whatsoever.
Yeah.
And that is so starkly obvious to ACAT that despite their reservations on my need for mental health treatment on all 3 of those occasions, they ruled in my favour every single time, because it was very clear that ACT Mental Health had no freaking clue what they were doing and no intention to even try and figure it out.
Yeah.
But the point is, there is no other health treatment in ACT. Like, if I lived in Sydney or Melbourne, I would have the option of what hospitals to go to. There were multiple mental health teams, you know, across hospitals in major capital cities, but I don't have that in the ACT. It's the problem. This city's too damn small.
Yeah, yeah. And then you know, for you to go into state, you know, you've got to be on the wait list. It starts all over again, and it's not like you can just transfer, which is makes it even harder.
I would never get public housing ever again if I moved anywhere else. And I mean, even if I went to Queanbeyan Hospital, what would happen? Or would they just transfer me back to Canberra Hospital? I'd have to go to Sydney.
Yeah,
and book myself into St. Vincent's. But then who's going to take care of my pets and everything like that in the meantime?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look, I'm sorry, Chris. I have a meeting at 10 o'clock.
That's okay.
I
meant to be having a conversation with Erin later today about a diversion to ACAT on mental health grounds at this point, rather than it being committed across to the Supreme Court.
Okay.
I don't know whether it is at all appropriate for you to have even an informal conversation with her around your work with me as case manager and any of your observations, thoughts, anything like that. From that process, but if that wouldn't be in any way inappropriate, even in just an entirely informal sense, I'd really encourage you to have a chat with Erin right now about, about me and about whether or not this is a or should be treated as a mental health situation and not a, you know, someone who needs to be, you know, punished, you know, for the good of society situation type thing, you know, even on a purely informal sense, if nothing else. Thank you. I'll let you go. Thank you for taking the call.
Of course. And look, I'm going to be in this meeting for an hour or so, but look, if you want to give me a call this afternoon, you know you're welcome to do so, okay?
If I can't even talk to anyone, I can't get it out of my head, and it just goes round and round in my head and drives
me crazy. So you just need to get it out of your head, talk it through,
Even Lifeline has hung up on me when I try talking to them about pedophilia stuff. I don't know why. But when people say call Beyond Blue, they call Lifeline, those organisations are useless, unfortunately.
Mm.
There's just some topics that their staff just can't handle, even talking to someone about it.
I think there is another... Leave it with me as well, and I'll have a look at... I do think that there is a specific one, but leave it with me and I'll have a look and I'll email it to you.
Just know if I ever call you, especially if I'm in distress or I'm leaving you a message asking you to call me back and I'm obviously crying and stuff, I'm not so much expecting you to be able to say anything to me, but I just really need to say something and I can't get it out of my head and I need someone to just listen.
And
if I can't do that, then I'm going to go crazy and that's why I'm calling then. So, I don't so much expect you to be able... I'm not calling because I want you to counsel me, but I just, like, this is a really autistic thing. If we can't express ourselves, then we drive ourselves crazy and we can't.
And even writing
it down is not the same.
No, and that's why I said, as soon as I heard your message, my phone was ringing and I just ignored the call and called you straight back. And inevitably, it was you calling. But no, of course, and I get that. And, you know, like I said, if I don't address it straight away, it's just because I'm unavailable at the time. But as soon as I am available, I will give you that time, of course.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm really sorry if I misjudged you at first. I hope you can understand that it wasn't intended.
No, it's okay. I understand. I get it. And I don't take it personally.
The first four appointments in a row with corrections, it was a different person each time, and I kept thinking it was going to be at each appointment I was like, oh, no, this is finally my case officer, and the next time, oh, no, you know, like, it was just really confusing from the beginning. By the time I got to you, I'd just been cycled through too many people. If you'd been the first person I'd met with, I think we would have gotten off on a very different foot.
Absolutely, and that's why when that first day when you came in, that's what I was trying to say to you. I was like, I'm so sorry that you have seen three different people and that, unfortunately, that experience did start off our relationship not so well.
Because I managed much better in each of those three subsequent people. But by the time I got to you, I'd kind of,
Yeah, you were heightened and you were annoyed and agitated and by all means, like, understandable.
I was finding it really difficult getting in there because having to get off at the interchange and then walk all the way back.
Exactly.
The last time I came to see you, I decided I wasn't even going to get the bus all the way to the interchange anymore because technically while the bus is passing the assembly, I can easily be within 100 metres of Tara and in breach. That order, even if that would be the most ridiculous circumstances for the police to, like, board the bus and arrest me for, you know, breaching the order.
Yeah.
But on that last occasion, I got off at outside Albert Hall and then went across the road and found a one of those Neuron scooters and registered a QR code and stupidly put bloody $10 on the thing. It's the only time I've ever used one of those rental scooters in my life because I used to have my own electric scooter. And I rode that all the way across Commonwealth Bridge and all the way through... the Floriade Park and over that little bridge and then up to your corrections office and parked it outside the office and then rode that all the way back down to Albert Hall and had to park it outside the museum or something because that's the only place you can park it down there and then walked back across and got the bus from the stop opposite Albert Hall again. You know what I mean? Like the only bus stop after the bridge before like Parliament House, that's the length I was already going to at that point to avoid going anywhere near the assembly because of the protection order from Tara, just because of like where
and
your offices
just,
are located. So yeah, by that
yeah,
point,
and
I was
just... Yeah, it sort of amplified your anxiety and stuff at the time.
Yeah,
yeah
so it wasn't just the fact that like you were like the fourth person in four meetings in a row, but by that point, I'd been going to huge amounts of effort just to try and physically get there every time. And yeah, it was just... But yeah, no, it's what it's worth. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't.
No, it's okay.
You're
like
not,
I said,
you're not a bad person. I'm just, I'm not either.
Well, thank you. I genuinely do care, and you know, and it's and I'm glad that you feel that I'm a safe person or that a safe space for you, despite all of the shittiness that's going on for you.
Maybe a lot of people that end up in the correction system in some way, you know, are meant to be there, but at the same time, an entirely adversarial system based upon people either being innocent or guilty, and, you know, so many people with mental health issues and abuses children and all kinds of stuff. I mean, society has let a lot of people down in the first place, you know, like, you know, our justice system isn't so much about justice or fairness, it's just about winners and losers.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah, sorry, you
got to
go.
Yeah, I've got a meeting. I've got an important meeting. All right.
Thank
you. Yeah, yeah. You just call me later if you need to.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, all right. Take care. Bye.